This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey guys, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is your host, Jessica Cabrera, and I am here today with Amber Charbeau. I'm really excited to have this conversation with Amber today, particularly because she and I have connected in kind of a really prayerful, spiritual way, but we haven't shared a whole lot of life. So I don't know her story. I don't know how it all got started. I don't know the ins and outs of things that God has done in her life over time. But I do know that she has a not only a deep faith, but she has a very persistent resilience and a joy about her. And I've had some occasions, and maybe we'll talk about it in this conversation today, where the Lord has led me to pray for and over Amber in some circumstances that she's been going through. And it's been one of those things. This is not something that I do often. I mean, I'm not just constantly finding people and being like, hey, can I pray for you? But for some reason with Amber, I've been with her on a couple of different occasions where I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, pray for her. And so I did. And that has been where we have connected on the deepest spiritual level, has been through these prayers. If you're a listener of this podcast, you've probably heard me refer to this before, but I think of a stage where there's a curtain. And on this podcast, we just pull back the curtain to see the show. And so we're just going to take some time to see what the show has been like in the life of Amber. So Amber, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Jessica, thank you so much for having me here. I was so honored to be asked to be on your podcast, and I'm so excited to share my story.
I love it. Well, I can't wait to hear. I want us to, let's start with where it all started for you in life and faith, and just take it from there.
Yeah, going back to the very beginning, really. So I grew up in a Christian household. Parents, very strong relationships with God. Both sets of grandparents, very strong relationships with God. So it was always modeled to me what it looked like to walk with Jesus.
And where are you from?
I am originally from Indianapolis. So grew up going to church and really always known church. That, I mean, not going to church would be weird, you know? Mm. So it was about the age, I think I was almost five, and I started to ask questions to my mom one day about, you know, what happens after someone dies? Hmm. You know, I don't know what prompted that question, mm-hmm. but I was just talking to her about it. And she explained to me, you know, that, you know, well, there's a heaven, there's a hell. And if you believe in Jesus, you have a relationship with him, then you will go to heaven after you die. So you don't have to worry about it. I was kind of a worrisome kid.
Okay.
So maybe that was in the background of my mind, like, oh no, I'm kind of getting that concept of death. What happens if I die?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So then she, you know, shared with me, you know, I can believe in Jesus, trust in him, and know that I will go to heaven when I die. And so it was then I asked her, I was like, well, what's going to happen if you or dad dies? And she's like, well, we believe in Jesus. We have this relationship. We're trusting him with everything. And we're going to go to heaven. And she's, and I was like, well, I want to go there too. Mm-hmm. And so she took the time with me, shared with me, prayed with me. And it was on that day that I received Christ into my life and became a Christian. And I was really young.
I was going to say, so you're five or maybe a little earlier than five.
Yeah.
And obviously you're telling me that this happened. So clearly it's part of your story. But I'm just curious, do you remember it? Like, can you, because, you know, memories are kind of weird about what the first thing you remember is or whatnot. Do you remember this happening? Or is it something that's just been kind of part of your story along the way? That has maybe your mom helped you remember or something?
No, I definitely remember it for myself. Because I talked with it. I think I talked about the experience with my mom later on. And I was remembering details that she didn't necessarily remember.
Oh, so like, cool.
coming into the bedroom, the window being open, what bedspread was on her bed, us sitting on the bed. It was just her and I in the house. Dad hadn't come home from work yet. I remember the house that we were in, which was a house that we were in only a year.
Wow.
So yeah. It's crazy, the details. Vivid. It's vivid.
Wow.
It's vivid. And those vivid memories of that spiritual encounter, that salvation experience, are what gave me the assurance that God was with me, that I was saved, because I have had doubts along mm-hmm. the way because I was so young mm-hmm. and just because of my worrisome nature mm-hmm. that, you know, was that experience real?
Yeah.
You know, did I become saved on that at that time?
Right.
But that moment of belief was there. That change occurred at that moment.
I could go on a real rabbit trail here mm-hmm. for the next 30 minutes, so I will not. But I just want to mention that in my experience, and it sounds like in yours too, spiritually charged experiences are very vivid. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like there are eyes to see that are not the same as just your earthly experience. There's a spiritual realm that is more clear and vivid, and even sight is just more, it's so hard to put into terminology, right? But you can, the eyes of your mind and the eyes of your heart, when you think back to moments that were very spiritually charged, there's a clarity there that I don't have with any of my just everyday worldly experiences. But my spiritually charged experiences where the Holy Spirit was in the room doing something very supernatural, man, I can remember those things with great detail, lots of vivid memories. And I've actually written a lot about a lot of my vivid memories. And I've had people who have read them comment, how do you remember all those details? And I'm like, I have no idea, because I have a terrible memory. I don't remember details about anything. I can't even remember a movie that I watched last week, much less the bedspread or the window being open when I was 4.5 years old. So I will not probe any more on that, because I know we could talk about all sorts of things. But I just have to bring up, as people are listening, there's just something really amazing about God and the way the way that we experience Him in real life is just super unique. So thank you for telling me about that. So this happened when you were very young. Tell me what life was like, you know, not necessarily when you were six, you know what I mean? But just how did life unfold for you after that?
Yeah. So, you know, continued going to church, went to a Christian school, was homeschooled for a while, then began my Christian high school experience.
Okay.
And I went to a phenomenal Christian high school and was able to go on a missions trip to England. And this was my freshman year of high school. So missions trips to England, freshman year of high school, first time on a plane, first time out of the country, super excited to like go and share my faith and mm-hmm. put on this vacation Bible school for this teeny Chinese church in Northern England that needed assistance.
Okay.
So really excited for this trip. But also on this trip, we would do some street evangelism, and that was a new experience for me. So just kind of putting on like little shows that told about Christ, and then maybe if we weren't involved in the shows or in the singing aspect of it, we then were kind of talking amongst the people just about, you know, who we are, what we were doing in their country, and how we love the Lord. And it was in those conversations that the, you know, people in the towns that we went to were asking me questions about my faith or sharing experiences of their faith or not having faith,
mm-hmm.
their belief in aliens or other strange things that I had never heard of, because I'm a freshman.
Yeah.
I haven't gone out.
This is your exposure to the world.
Right.
Right.
So real life conversations with unbelievers, you know, people who haven't gone to church, and, you know, they're just very, you know, honestly sharing their experiences, their life, because they're asking questions, I'm asking questions. And Jessica, that rocked my world.
Right.
That felt like a rug had been taken out of under me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what on earth do I believe? Because someone asked me, well, why do you believe that? Mm-hmm. Do you believe that because that's what grandma told you? Mm-hmm. Because that's what your mom told me? Because is that what your pastor told you?
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, should our faith, our life, our existence be built on what other people have told us?
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Probably need a little something stronger than that. Okay. Okay. The Bible. Okay. I believe it because the Bible said that. Okay. That's stronger. Right. Uh-huh. But maybe you need even more evidence than that.
Right.
Right. So it was there on that trip that I like, oh, it was crazy. I started to not believe.
Yeah. You kind of went into a tailspin.
I went into a tailspin. Mm-hmm. And that broke my heart. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like I was abandoning God, my beliefs, my family.
Right.
But at the same time, I was like, Amber, like, you have to figure out why you believe what you believe. Mm-hmm. And if it has to start at the very beginning, that is fine. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I'm an open person. And I told everybody that I was going through this. Right. So my like roommate on the trip, my pastor on the trip. And, you know, they, of course, were loving arms and like pointing me back to the word and like, take your time, you know.
Yeah. It's okay to ask questions.
It's fine. Right. I'm like, I'm thinking, oh, gosh, like I'm going to get sent home. I don't believe in God anymore.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I relate. I've had experiences in my life as well, but because of the fact, so I'm super curious because I only know you now, right? Yeah, and yeah. I am learning about this experience in your life that was very revolutionary for your faith, it sounds like. So I definitely want to hear what happened next. But I will say that as I'm listening to you say this, I'm thinking, what a gift, right? Mm-hmm. What a gift to reach a place where you're not, where you are realizing, I've got to figure out why I believe, because I'm sure that there was more to come in your life that you needed that anchor. And if you had not gone through that in that earlier season in your life, then you might have tossed around with the wind and the waves later on in life whenever you really needed the strong foundation. And so this was a way to rock your world and build that strong foundation, I'm assuming. And I am assuming you recovered from this doubt and from this struggle and this, I don't know if I believe and whatnot. But I think it's also reassuring for anyone listening who does not believe or who has all the questions that people were asking you that day. And you know, to say, okay, well, that's okay. God can handle that. Like, God can handle us going through that. And he's actually there for it, you know? So tell me, how did it all turn out for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, just, you know, starting to open your eyes, seeing God with fresh eyes, starting to notice him in the details of life. So he's no longer just a story in the book or someone who lives in your heart, right? But like, he's with you, he's walking with you along the way. He's with you when you're scared to, you know, take the next step. So starting to see that, starting to feel his presence, starting to, you know, read the Bible, experience and getting to know who he is as a person, that is what deepened my faith. And then it's no longer just sharing stories from the Bible. You're sharing your story of how God is moving and working in your life. Mm-hmm. And that is how I kind of found my foundation and, you know, became more assured in my faith and reestablished my faith. Yeah.
So do you have experiences that took place in your life after that, that you felt like were part of the journey of experiencing God, experiencing his power, his presence, and seeing him in a way that is like, here's more evidence?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went to a Christian college, got even more founded in God's word. And then when I went off to grad school, I went away kind of further away from home to Savannah, Georgia, all by myself, didn't know anybody. And that is when I, you know, was almost alone, but felt, oh my gosh, no, I'm not alone because God is with me. So thankful for that foundation because I had some turmoil in Savannah. I had a job loss. I had some financial struggles, like literally not knowing how I'm going to pay my rent, literally not knowing how I'm going to purchase a car. Had to borrow a car for a while from multiple people. From my now husband, borrowed his truck for a while. But any time that I needed something, it was provided in the craziest ways. Like the guy that led the Bible study, he ended up giving some money to me so that I could pay a bill that I needed to. And I was like, what? Why would you give me $200? He's like, well, the school gave it to me as a refund and I didn't know it was coming and I don't really need it. And I think you should take it. I was like, what? Who just gives money away? That was so unreal to me. So that was definitely a, like one of the ways I saw God provide for me. And then other times in life when having, you know, turmoil, losing that job, you start to like not worry as much. Yeah, I lost my job, but I'm not as worried as maybe I used to be in life because I've seen his provision in the past. I now have peace during this turmoil because I remember his past provision.
Yeah, that's faith, right? I mean, faith is like building blocks. And once you trust him, then that's like laying a brick. And then you trust him again and there's another brick and you trust him again and there's another brick. And suddenly, you know, as you trust him with your life, with your circumstances, it doesn't always work out fabulously, you know, but the faith that you exercise when you trust him lays a brick that then builds a foundation. And we, you know, and then that foundation supports us whenever we come to our next crisis or our next turmoil. So sounds like you were really, you were living the adult life of struggling through finances and jobs and independence and all of these things. And, but you were doing that in relationship with God, where God was a part of your story. You were going to God. You were asking for help from God. The community of believers were generously coming alongside of you on your journey, which is also a way that God provides for his children is through his family, right? His family supports one another. So great. Well, how, so this is your young, like, college-ish years and post-college years?
That was in grad school. I was down in Savannah, stayed in Savannah for a while. Savannah is actually where I met my husband, and my husband's active duty Army, so got introduced to
military.
Yeah, one of my best friends in Savannah was in the military, and she always told me, Amber, I think you would make a really good Army wife. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, because you're independent and so friendly and inviting and love to travel and bounce back with changes. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but okay.
She could see it.
So it's so interesting because in Savannah is where I met my husband, and our story began there.
So is there anything else you want to tell us just about where you've seen God show up?
Yeah. So most recently, I have seen God move hugely in our journey to begin a family, you know. So we, you know, started to try to have kids when we were in Kansas, weren't really successful. We knew we were moving to the D.C. area. So our OB at the time said, hey, there's way more, you know, specialists there, resources there. So if we, let's not get started here because you're going to move in 6 months. Let's get started in DC. So once we moved to DC, started that process, getting the referrals, getting tested, things like that, found out that we had 2% chance to have kids on our own. Okay. Mm-hmm. Was immediately suggested to do IVF. That was a big step for me because I was like, ooh, IVF, how do I feel about that? Mm-hmm. You know, is that something we want to do? But the doors just started opening, and God gave me peace about taking that next step. Mm-hmm. Some of my fears with IVF was having leftover embryos, because what do you do with those leftover embryos? Mm-hmm. I've had friends that have done IVF, had some leftover embryos. You know, what do you do? So that was my fear, and I'll kind of talk to you more about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But that was my fear going into IVF. But I was like, that's fine. Let's just keep going. What's that next step? So, we do 2 rounds of IVF, both unsuccessful.
Wow.
So, it was at that point that the doctor is like, you know, telling me, Amber, your eggs aren't the best quality. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should consider an egg donor.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, we can consider it. And I was like, how big of the chance is that? Because there was also some issues with Corey's side as well. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, it's a pretty good chance. And I was like, pretty good. And then looking at the cost of it.
Right.
It's double the cost expensive. Of IVF.
Yeah.
I was then led to by a friend here at my church in Virginia to embryo donation. Or embryo adoption, as we in the Christian society say. So there are people who have extra embryos that
don't want to discard them.
Right, right. Which that was my fear, right?
Yeah.
We didn't have any extra embryos because I, you know, barely produced enough eggs to even get what I needed for our rounds of IVF. So we didn't have any left over.
Right.
So, okay, God took care of that fear.
Right.
And then
but
now,
he taught you something through the process.
Right. And now I'm helping other families who have these extra embryos.
Right.
And by adopting their embryo. Right. I can adopt a child. I can save an embryo.
Right.
I can also carry a child and nurture it and have a child of my own.
I think this is what I meant at the very beginning when I said that there's a sense of resilience and joy that I observe in you. And the resilience, I think, was built over all of these years, right? These years that you're telling us about, that you, the resilience of your faith, the anchoring of your faith that took place after your doubt, that really anchored you so that whenever these storms came your way and things occurred, that you were able to really weather those storms, right? And now we're talking about this IVF journey, which I just don't want it to go understated how difficult this is. Whenever you say we had 2 rounds of unsuccessful IVF, it's like, I'm sure that's just like a lot of hardship.
But it's so crazy through all of the shots, needles, appointments, early morning wake ups, all of those things. I had this just like incredible, indescribable peace, knowing that he's providing for you and knowing that his big loving arms are there to bring you what you need. That is what gives you that peace. The fact that God provides things and people in your life at the exact time, like things that you didn't even know that you needed.
Right. Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah. And I kind of feel that. Yeah, I kind of feel that way about the time that the Spirit led me to pray over you.
Oh,
you know, I feel like he was like, Jessica, pray.
Yeah.
You know, and we prayed.
Yeah.
And I can't really explain why, but I would say that, you know, you have an advocate in the Spirit. And and that, because that's not me. That's not me being, I mean, there are how many people in our group that I could have like prayed for all sorts of things going on,
but
for whatever reason, the Spirit was advocating for you and just said, pray, you know, and that's a way that we can see God is working because he even prompts other people to intervene spiritually for us, you know, whenever things happen. Oh man, I've got stories of that
I know.
Like where other people have shown up in my life and they're like, you know what? God told me to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Because it was exactly what I needed.
Right.
Right then.
And at that moment.
Yes, in that moment. And the other person is like, I feel compelled because I feel like it's been stirring in me to do this. And I think, wow, mm-hmm. the fact that what's going on in my life mm-hmm. can be spiritually communicated to another human right. being. And they don't even know. Like, no. they don't know the circumstances. They don't know the realities. Like, God knows things mm-hmm. that nobody knows.
But they were nudged.
But they were nudged by the Holy Spirit to do these things. And they can't explain it. They don't know why. Mm-hmm. And then you can't explain it. It's just so mm-hmm. cool. I love
it's
that.
It's beautiful,
it is,
right?
It is really incredible. Whenever you're standing on that strong foundation, then everything that comes your way just doesn't rock your world as much as it did that when you were a freshman in yeah. England and your whole world was rocked
yeah.
Based on that scenario. And then over the years, now here you are like facing some of the hardest things that you've faced and you are looking at it like, it's going to be okay. I'm going to, you know, like I'm trusting God. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but here we are and we're doing this. And the foundation that you have under mm-hmm. you is so much stronger. So, so thankful to God for doing all of those things and carrying you through everything that you've been through.
And I want to share a verse real quick because okay. in Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13, he says, then you will come and call upon me and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So whether you are just believing God in God for the first time, whether you are so confused about your current circumstances, so broken over a tragedy, all you have to do is call upon him and seek him and trust that he is going to be there. It may not be immediate. It may take a couple of days, but start opening your eyes and you're going to see his presence.
Amen. Thank you for that. This is awesome. Thank you, Amber, for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jessica.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.